Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
The LASIK Vision Institute offers free virtual consultations, so you can get all your questions answered from the comforts of home. Questions like, is LASIK affordable? Right now at the LASIK Vision Institute, get 20% off LASIK in May. That can be over $900 off when treating both eyes, plus financing. So visit MyLVIOffer.com. Must mention this promotion and be treated in May of 2022 to qualify. 20% off standard price procedure. Cannot be combined with any other offers. Go to MyLVIOffer.com for details.
And welcome to a new episode of Digital Coffee. I'm your host, Brett Dice. If you could please subscribe to Digital Coffee on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Leave a review. It will just help with the rankings. And let us know how I am doing. But this week, we're going to be talking about a few games, a few new equipment that's been coming out this week and next week. And I'm going to be talking about, well, the earning reports for Microsoft. And then to say a lot of people on Twitter don't understand what monopolies are at all. They think that's buying all companies, but it's really not that at all. So we're going to be discussing that as well. So let's get on with the show. All right, so first off is Elder Scrolls Online is going to a new place. It's the Isles. It's where the Bretons are from. It is going to be very interesting. It's called the High Isles. This is a cross between the Mediterranean and medieval, so it's got that almost Greco-medieval Dark Ages type of vibe to it. Should be interesting to see where this goes with it. Apparently, there's supposed to be a card minigame part of it, so the old card game that they did with Elder Scrolls that is no longer available is going to be part of the game instead, so it should be interesting to see where this goes. And now, Elder Scrolls Online, when it first came out, did not have the best launch, but it seems like dedicated support has made this a better game in general. There's still a lot of people playing it. I would rather have Elder Scrolls 6, but this is kind of a stopgap for it. Kind of like what Knights of the Republic is, or no, not Knights of the Republic, excuse me, Old Republic is to Knights of the Old Republic. Even though a remastered is coming out for PC and the PS5, it should be interesting to see where this goes with the story, what's happening. It's apparently there's a Three Banners War and there's knights that are trying to stop it. So it's a very big intrigue of like how they're trying to stop it. What nefarious thing are they trying to do? Is it good? Is it bad? How are they trying to stop a war? Which always is, to me, always is a good thing, because war is never good, generally speaking. But interesting to see how well they're going to do with this one. All right, moving on to Windows 11 and the TPM requirement is still causing AMD Ryzen CPU stuttering issues. Now, it's very interesting to see that this is still going on because, well, I did install on my laptop Windows 11 for maybe 2 or 3 days. I kind of felt like it was lowering my frame rates unnecessarily, and I went, well, time to go back to Windows 10. So it's on Windows 10 again. I will probably upgrade this laptop to Windows 11 once it's more stable, once there's more features to it. It just felt like they launched it to launch it, and they were going to be updating it to make it more of a feature-rich Windows 10-like experience. But Windows 10 is feature-rich. It is stable. It does not have any issues with AMD processors. So I will stay on this, but it's still very interesting that we are still dealing with this today. And it's the FTMP stutter that is causing this. And when you turn it off, it's when it doesn't actually have issues with it. But TPM does have issues also with NVMe drives as well. So it's just a double whammy of why should I be using this? All right, moving on to Two Point Campus. That's right. The creator of Two Point Hospital, which was the successor of Theme Hospital, is making a campus game similar to the hospital game, but you build a school instead of a hospital, which should be very interesting to see what the hilarious antics are with this one as well. I did really enjoy and still do really enjoy Two Point hospital, and I'm hoping to see just as many crazy things happening in Two Point Campus. This is supposed to come out May 17th to PC, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, PS5, PS4, Nintendo Switch, and PC Xbox Game Pass. So you have myriad of ways of actually playing this. If you have Game Pass, try to get on there. If you have any of these, try to get them on there. Well, but if you want a fun game about basically building a crazy school to teach crazy things, this is it. If you like what Two Point Hospital is, it's probably going to be similar to that vein, which I'm happy about because I like these crazy building games that are a little nutty because you need some laughter in your life. And I'm excited for this one, and you can already pre-order it on Steam. So, and you can also pre-order it on PS5. I've not checked Nintendo Switch yet because I do have one, but you can pre-order it right now if you want to. And moving on to Crysis 4. Yes, it has been announced this week that Crysis 4 is in development. This is kind of nuts considering that Crysis 3 was made in, like, I think, I want to say like 2013 or something like that. And it hasn't been made in a very long time. Crytek moved on to other things. For example, it moved on to Shadow Hunt, which is a pretty good game in and of itself. So they've moved on to other things, but they did remaster the first three games already. So this is just, hey, we're back into playing this game. So we're going to make a new Crysis. Should be interesting. What I would like to see for Crysis 4 is a return to what Crysis, the original one, was all about. I like the open worldness about it. I like that you could tackle the objectives your way. 2 and 3 were fun, but it was very confined playground. It wasn't as open as big as the first one, which really sucks because I liked that openness about it of you can tackle it any way you want to, and would like to see a return to that instead of the 2 or 3 model of it. Now, graphics cards might be hurting a little bit on this one because, as always, the meme is, can it run Crysis? And we shall see if it will actually run Crysis or not. Moving on to Respawn and Star Wars. So, bad news, we're not going to get a Battlefront 3 at all. DICE is working on Battlefield 2042 and trying to fix all the issues it has with it. So we're not going to even get close to one of a new Battlefront, which it would have been nice to see what they would do new to it. But the unfortunate part of DICE right now is that a lot of the veteran DICE developers have left. And so you have a lack of leadership and a lack of vision for the most part. And so that's the biggest hurdle right now is trying to get that leadership and vision back again. But what we have is that Respawn is going to be making 3 different games. One's going to be an FPS. We already know it's going to be Star Wars Jedi Order 2. And then another game is going to be more of a tactical strategy game from some developers from XCOM. So it should be interesting to see how well that's going to be played out. I would be hoping that Respawn would just be like, yeah, you know what? We'll just do a Battlefront 3. We'll just do it in the Unreal Engine instead of the Frostbite Engine because it's easier to develop on the Unreal Engine than the Frostbite Engine in general. The Frostbite Engine seems to be very difficult to work with in general. And personally, as an opinion, I think it's time to hang up that engine and maybe focus on plugins or APIs within the Unreal Engine if they could actually do that instead. So like destruction APIs, make the destruction better in Unreal Engine and work with them instead. But that's my opinion about this. So it should be interesting to see what other two games are coming out. Maybe it's a Republic Commando again, which would be another fun game if they revisited that again. And we'll see what the strategy game is as well. It should be interesting even more to see what they're going to be adding or making better on Jedi Order 2 because that one was fun enough, but the combat needs to be a little bit more to me to make it better. It was an okay combat system, not the best, but it was fun in general. All right, moving on to Quake 2 RTX. There's a new patch coming out that adds AMD FSR and support and fixes numerous bugs. The funny thing is that it will not actually support NVIDIA DLSS. Yes, the NVIDIA did help the developer make Quake 2 RTX, but the developer just cannot get DLSS on the game, which is really funny because this all was about showcasing RTX, and now they won't be able to showcase DLSS. It's one of those weird things that it seems easier to implement FSR than it does DLSS, which has always been the thing about AMD versus NVIDIA. AMD makes these high-end things that are really difficult to implement, like G-Sync. You have to have an extra piece of equipment to put in the monitors, which makes it more expensive. AMD did more of a software side of things, and FreeSync is better supported than G-Sync is right now. G-Sync is expensive. FreeSync is not as expensive for monitors. You have this one as well, where DLSS is a little bit more time-consuming to implement, and FSR is not as time-consuming to implement. So it's just, it's really, really funny. Even though FSR will support NVIDIA graphics cards, so don't worry, it will still be able to support it. It's just funny that a game that was supposed to highlight the NVIDIA features won't highlight DLSS at all, but will highlight AMD's FSR. All right, moving on to Overwatch. And Overwatch has launched the Lunar event. So there's not as many skins this time around. There are 3 skins you can get by playing the game, but the other 2 or 3 aren't as many, which is interesting. The Mercy one is probably one of the best ones I've seen. The Tracer one looks okay, but I really wasn't too intrigued in anything else. But this is where we're at with all this stuff. It's unfortunate, but it seems like the quality and quantity of work has been going downhill with Blizzard. Maybe the acquisition, if it goes through with Microsoft, will bring up the caliber that used to be a part of Blizzard. But right now, it just, this Lunar event just seems meh. I mean, the biggest interesting change is the Mercy change, where if you die over like a pit or something like that, Mercy has a chance to heal you or res you, I should say. The problem is I watch Flats and Emong try to do it, and it just wasn't working properly, which was funny because they kept on like saying, look, we've made this, you guys should check it out. And it's like, it doesn't really work that well. So we'll just have to wait, see if they will fix the bugs, but that's the major changes in it. So I'm hoping this will be better, but we'll just have to wait until the acquisition actually happens, or if not, we'll have to wait until the acquisition fails and see what they do or plan to do to make things better. And speaking of Blizzard, there is going to be more news coming out from Blizzard on Warcraft, Overwatch, and Diablo. So we should stay tuned for eventually some news. Hopefully this is all good news for all 3 of them. Hopefully it's for a new Warcraft strategy game, plus a new World of Warcraft expansion. Hopefully some Overwatch news that's more encouraging than discouraging. As always, Diablo's hopefully coming out next year. Hopefully, maybe. We don't really know because it's just all stay tuned for it. But since November 2021, we've heard that there is no new release date for either Overwatch 2 or Diablo 4. So I think the biggest mistake for Overwatch 2 is that they decided to go 5v5, which put a lot of work on their backs to change things around. I still think you could do a 6v6 and still keep it interesting, but they decided to do it this way instead, which made more work and made having to balance change everything a lot more time consuming. Like I said, it was not really needed. I know they're trying something new. Wasn't needed. The reason why tanks are not played as much in Overwatch is because there are so few of them to play, and it's just not that great. What you could have done is you could make it a lot more brawly, regardless of if there's 1 or 2 tanks, and leave it more at that, but still balance it in a way that's good for most people. All right, moving on to the Valve Steam Deck. We finally have a launch date, February 25th. Now, the first units will ship 3 days later, so it'll be February 28th. So you have 72 hours from the time you get an email to make sure that you order it or you're not going to actually get it. So check those emails religiously until it comes, because unless you do it, you will be missing out on it. Now, I got one of them, or I reserved one of them, I should probably should say. And so it should be interesting to see how well this plays out, how well the actual desktop-like Steam Deck does, if it will be a really good alternative to a traveling desktop, not very like gaming content creation desktop, but more like a productive, I can do minor tasks, web browse and everything desktop. Should be interesting to see how well it competes against the Switch and how these two may be able to still win with being different things, because Switch is more all about Nintendo. Steam is all about every other PC game out there, and having it portable is like having an Xbox Game Pass, but not with a monthly subscription. So I think it's a win overall. Plus it's a PC basically. It uses Linux. You could actually put on Windows 10, I think. I don't know if you could put on Windows 11, but at least you can put on Windows 10, and you could almost make a Windows 10 PC out of it, which I'm all ears for that. If I could figure out how to do that and then I put on Word and everything else, that will be a win for me in general. But I'm excited to see this finally coming into fruition. I'm hoping this is going to be good. Now, the device actually has AMD Zen 2 processor along with 16 gigs of RAM, the AMD RDNA 2 GPU, and between 64 and 612 GB of internal storage, which I got the biggest one, the 612, because for gaming, you just need the highest of whatever, because all games just get ridiculously high on the installs of the gigs than it actually has. It's crazy. Crazy, I tell you. All right, and one more announcement from Blizzard is, well, they're making a survival game. Yes, they're going along with the trends of survival games like Icarus, I can't think of anything off the top of my head besides, Valheim as well. So they're going off of that and making, I guess, their own new world of this. Maybe it will be more keen to Warcraft than anything else, but not actually Warcraft. Who knows? They could make a survival game out of Starcraft or Warcraft, to be honest with you, and it actually would be kind of fun to play. But they want to make a new world, which is fine. It's a new game. It should be interesting to see if they're actually going to bring anything new to this type of genre, because there's a lot of out there. Ark is another one. But I don't know. Overwatch was such a newer thing of like, hero shooter. This is interesting and new. And now it's just a survival game where I'm like, well, is this really that new? I mean, we don't know much about it, but it just seems like it's kind of a chasing trends instead of making trends. Overwatch was a making trends type of game. It may have not been the first hero shooter, but it was the one that did it right. And it did really well. So there are differences between this. I just don't know if a survival game is a thing they should be focusing on. But hey, they've done a lot of projects where they've canceled, like the Ghost Project. They did another more like a action adventure game from Warcraft way long ago in the 90s that they canceled. They've canceled plenty of these types of games. So it could happen where this just doesn't see fruition. But regardless, I just don't really know. All right, let's get into the new products being announced for gamers, streamers, content creators. Elgato has released a new pedal. Yes, a foot pedal for you to actually use. It is in conjunction with the Stream Deck software, and it will actually have a good little overlay on your PC to see which ones you're actually using. And you can basically understand, if you know how to drive, it's basically this. So basically you've got the license, not to really to drive, but to use an Elgato foot pedal. Now this is very interesting for me because I could use it in various different ways. Specifically, if I'm on a live stream and I want to do different types of scene changes or anything like that, where it's not like I'm using my hands for it with the Stream Deck and you can see my hands doing this, but more I'm just doing it with a foot pedal, or with using, I don't know, the Cam Link when built internally and changing those things as well. Unfortunately, it's only three pedals. If it was a fourth one, that actually would be better. I'm hoping that once it's been out for a little while, they will add more functionality, like a double tap on it or something like that. Should be interesting to see. From what I've seen, it's a very well-made, very beefy type of foot pedal. It does have different types of, I He has springs for tension, also stoppers, so one pedal won't go as a button anymore. So it should be interesting to see what other uses this could have, but this will be able to free up your hands to do other things if you need it for something else. As well as that, they've also released their Discord API to actually be able to fully control Discord. And then on to my last thing about gear that you should consider. Beacon is finally releasing their three new products: a dynamic USB-C mic, and also their mixers. One is Create and Create Pro or something like that, or Mixer, Mix and Create. That's what it is. Either way, each one of them is very interesting, very small, very compact. Touch screens. There are knobs, but there are no faders or anything like that on there. It is more software-based, so you will have to have a software for it. They do run over $200 for the Mix Create. The Mix is $200. The Mix Create is $250. And the mic is almost $300 for that one. But the mic is very interesting with a 32-bit float rate for audio. Also, adaptive noise suppression as well. So it does have a lot of things baked into it to make it worthwhile, especially with if you're traveling or you're in a rental house and you need things to have extra functionality so it sounds as best you can with the limited things that you have. This seems like right up the alley. So moving on to my main topic and more about talking about monopolies and also Microsoft in general, looks like Microsoft did do a good job in the last quarter with actually doing a 2% growth on Xbox content. They also have about 25 million people on Xbox Game Pass, which is a huge thing. And this also just brings it to why the acquisition is so important for them to get Activision Blizzard, because it just adds to that growth of library for developers. So you have a very compelling reason to get Xbox Game Pass. Now, the thing is about this is that gamers don't really understand monopolies. I've seen this a lot on Twitter, and people are just showing off this one graph, and it's not even a good graph. It has Microsoft, Take-Two, EA, Sony, and the Embracer Group. And the Embracer Group has apparently a ton of developers. A lot of them I've never heard of. And it also has different ones and saying there's no monopoly. It's like, yeah, of course there's no monopoly right now. No one's saying there's a monopoly right now with Microsoft. It's not saying that there couldn't be a monopoly. Second, and this is a major important thing, you don't have to own every single company to become a monopoly. You just have to have the market share. The dominant market share makes you a monopoly. Not owning a bunch of companies makes you a monopoly. It could, but for the most part, it's a dominant market share. For example, Steam from Valve is a dominant in its market share because it controls, or a lot of gamers use it for buying games and playing games. Even though with Xbox Game Pass, with EA Desktop app, with Ubisoft Connect, I don't know, they keep on changing the name on that one, with Battle.net, with Bethesda's one, with Epic Game Store, all of these are vying for that. GOG as well. All these are vying for that digital distribution dominant, or at least taking a chunk out of DICE's, I guess, pie or dominance, but hasn't been able to do it. The reason why is because it was first the market. It kept on innovating to make it ahead of the market. And once every other developer wanted to be a part of it, nobody wanted to give anybody else a try. It's like, I'm already on here. All my games are on here. Why would I want to go somewhere else to install something else? But Ubisoft, EA, and Epic did that just to do it, just to get the extra piece of the pie. But it's still dominant because they all complain about Steam and how Steam is the dominant digital distribution site online. They don't have or barely have very many developers that they own. They work with a lot of developers. They barely make any games. But yet they're so dominant in the PC gaming industry for selling things. But they don't have very many developers. They don't have to make that much content because the content's coming from the developers in general. So with their dominant market share, they don't own very much, but they have huge dominance in the selling of games. It's by no mistake that what they did was revolutionary, but also a pain in the butt when it first came out. Steam was awful when it first came out on for Half-Life 2. I did not like it at all either. It was hard. It didn't work very much. It was clunky. But it got better over time, and we stuck with it, even though we didn't really want it. We stuck with it, and look where we're at right now. People are whining about their dominance. With that being said, and moving it over to Microsoft, Microsoft right now may not have a monopoly, but Steam didn't start off as a monopoly either, or dominance in that either. They eventually grew into that, and that's Microsoft's overall plan. Right now, even with the acquisition of Activision Blizzard, they won't be a monopoly, but they could become a monopoly like before when they were broken up again because of antitrust laws. They could become one once again in the gaming industry because gaming is very important to them right now. They figured out that it's a really good sector to be in again. So with that being said, I know there's a lot of information going around there, but if that one specifically, someone shares that and says, like, it's no monopoly here. Look at this. It's like, well, that doesn't, you don't have to buy every single thing to be a monopoly. Usually they have to be first or very good at what you do to dominate the market. Apple dominated the market for smartphones for a very long time until Google came in and got their act together and figured out what to do. And now they're dominant in the marketplace because they're more open than they used to be more open. They're not as open, but in the beginning they were very open than Apple was. So my thing is, and once again, Google does not own any of these companies that make phones. They used to. They used to own Motorola, but they sold it off to Lenovo. But they don't make any of the phones. They have the Pixel phones are usually made by their partners, and they have a market dominance not because they own all the companies, just because they make Android, which helps Samsung become market dominance in that type of field as well. So Samsung is dominant, but they don't own all the cell phone companies as well. Once again, it's not about how many companies you own. It's how you dominate with good products to dominate the market. That's it. So we need to stop with this whole monopoly thing. You need to buy all the companies. You don't need to do it. You need to have a good product, which Microsoft does with Xbox Game Pass or PC Game Pass or whatever they're going to be renaming this to. Should probably just rename it to Game Pass in general. Just leave it Game Pass. But my point is, dominance does not equal buying everything. Dominance usually means whoever has the best product in the consumer's mind wins. So capitalism actually works. For the most part, there's always things wrong with it. Not every system is perfect. No system's perfect. So, once again, please, please stop doing this information. I'm not calling it misinformation because that's just been overplayed and I hate that word now. But just information that is incorrect. We need to stop. We need to either respectfully disagree and say, look, this is not actually what it is. So we understand better what things are. Research it a little bit. It's never bad to research. But let's all understand that Microsoft is not a monopoly now, but if you don't think their goal is to not become one, then you're a little insane. Anyways, that is the end of Digital Coffee, but thank you for listening to Digital Coffee. As always, please subscribe to Digital Coffee on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Leave a review. It will just help with the rankings. Let me know how I am doing. And join me next week to talk about what's going on in the PC gaming industry. All right, guys, stay safe. Get a Steam Deck if you can afford it, or get Elgato pedal or beacon thing, or get a new game. There's a sale going on Steam right now. And see you next week. Later.